All right, I'm live. How's it going, Rocky fans? Going the distance, Rocky podcast fans. I'm Ryan, your host. It's good to be here today on Thanksgiving weekend in Canada. That's right, it's Thanksgiving in Canada. First, we're first. We love Thanksgiving so much that we want to celebrate in October. But you know what? I have three American kids, so I'm going to probably celebrate November too. So anyways, hey, this is going to be episode 61 or so. We're not too sure the order, but this will be Rocky 3, the final parts of the movie. We're going to talk about it, and Ruben can't join us today because he's camping with his family on Thanksgiving weekend, which is totally legit. He can be with his family. So Kyle Peterson is going to be joining us today, and we're always happy to have Kyle. He's always good to go. I can call him up last minute and say, hey, Kyle, you want to co-host today? And he's good to go. So we're just going to wait for him to join, and there he is now saying hi. So we're going to add him to the broadcast. All right. This is very exciting. Kyle, there you are, my brother. How's it going?
Well, I just enjoyed some Canadian Thanksgiving dinner, so I'm pretty full.
Yeah, I was just telling the audience that it's Canadian Thanksgiving, that I actually just finished eating myself. So I might be a little bit turkey drunk, but here we go.
I'm actual drunk, so it's all good. I'm just kidding. I'm not.
What would you have? What was the meal that you had? Turkey, stuffing, potatoes, the works?
Yeah, just typical Thanksgiving stuff. Turkey, stuffing, garlic, mashed potatoes. Oh, you know what? We had a lasagna there too because my nephews really like lasagna. So that was kind of the outlier there. But
all right. Well, hey, lasagna is Italian, and we're going to be talking about the Italian stallion.
That's what they'd have at their Thanksgiving, I'm sure.
That's right. So, Kyle, are you ready? Are you ready to talk Rocky III, the final fight, Clubber Lang versus Italian Stallion, Rocky Balboa? Are you ready to do this?
I've been preparing my entire adult life for this moment, Ryan.
Okay, well, I appreciate you coming in. We just mentioned that Ruben couldn't be here. He's camping with his family. Quite frankly, I have to have an episode recorded. We got to get something out there. I actually got a fan who messaged me on our site saying, hey, where is an episode? I need my Rocky fix.
So you're being held accountable, in other words.
I know. It's weird. It's weird that anyone, you know, I always find it amazing that anybody listens to us. So anyways, ready to go?
Ready as I'll ever be.
Okay. Do you want to cue the music?
Cue the music.
It's going to be done post-edit, so. All right, well, like I told Kyle, I've got the movie in front of me. Kyle, you have it in your head. You're always ready to go. So I'm going to walk us through what we're looking at, and you're going to be able to just chime in and say, hey, this is what we're doing. So the last episode that we talked about, the Rocky movie, was the training montage, of course, where Rocky and Apollo consummated their training on the beach. Do you recall that scene?
That's burned in my memory forever, Ryan. There was some manly love there on that scene.
It was. So right after their manly hug on the beach, the scene right after is Stu Nahan saying, "Good evening, ladies and gentlemen." They're at the Madison Square Garden. So we got a full house at the Garden here for Super Fight 4, or I don't know what this would be called.
You know what? Speaking of Super Fight, Ryan, I think, and I don't have the footage in front of me, but I think they reused some footage from the Rocky 2 fight.
Oh, do they really? Like, what do you mean?
Yeah, you can see, like, of the audience. I believe there's a scene where you can see, you can see the audience in the stand, and you can see, like, Super Fight 2 in the background, and you can still see Rocky and Apollo there.
I guess they figured they could have any white and black guy in the ring from a far off distance and they could get away with it.
Yeah, probably. So I guess this is the same place they fought in the first fight too.
Okay.
So the same venue. Madison Square Garden as well. Yeah.
Yeah. They're in Madison Square Garden and we've got the announcers Stu Nahan and Bill Baldwin ringside calling the play by play here.
Did you guys do the scene already where Apollo gives Rocky his trunks?
That's coming up
for the fight.
That's coming up. Oh, okay. We've just entered the venue. Right. Stu Nahan says we now switched to our remote cameras inside the dressing room. So this is where we get to see the action inside the dressing rooms.
Oh yes, of course. That's right.
I love how. Would we ever use that dialogue today? We're now switching to our remote cameras inside the dressing rooms. Would that ever be said today?
No, never. Never. Yeah, there's probably on like a guy's phone now or something.
So we got the reporter right in the like. So the next scene, we got the reporter right in Clubber's face. Like he's talking. Pretend my hand is Clubber's face, and the scene, the reporter is this close to Clubber's face.
It wasn't like the last fight when Clubber wanted to leave him alone in the dressing room, and he ended up what looked like attacking the cameras.
Ruben just chimed in here. Ruben, under our moniker of the Rocky Series podcast, he just wrote in, "Hey guys, love the new co-host." So just so everyone knows, Kyle is not the new co-host. He's our substitute. You're our substitute co-host. Let's just be honest. You're our go-to guy. I don't pity you. But I pity the man who tries to take what Ruben's got, which is the co-host title.
Oh.
So nobody hates you, Kyle.
He's still a maid for me, and he's going to get hurt.
All right. So the reporter says, "Would you care to comment on how you plan to fight Balboa? What's your strategy?"
Don't need any. Balboa is so predictable and stupid.
What I love about that is it's kind of true, you know. What I love about it is it's Stallone. It's his writing, right? So it's his script. He's writing the dialogue for the Cleverland character, and it is kind of true that the Rocky character is a bit of a he blocks with his head, you know.
Yeah.
He just goes in. He uses his blunt force trauma, as we learned in Rocky Balboa Part 6. That blunt force trauma is Rocky's go-to weapon, right? Just hit and hit hard. And to take hits and keep moving forward.
Yeah, and obviously he can't win that way against Clubber. No one really can. So now Clubber did get a hint that maybe Rocky might change his style because he's trading with Apollo, but obviously he doesn't have a lot of respect for Apollo anyways. So I think he figures at this point he's unbeatable. He's never lost a fight.
Clubber's full of confidence, and maybe rightfully so. He says here, "The man comes straight ahead." So he's obviously seen Rocky's 1 and 2, and Clubber knows the style of Rocky's fight. Just comes straight ahead, and you see those shots in Rocky 1 and 2, and he just keeps getting punched in the head.
Is this the time I could share my conspiracy theory? Stallone, the era he was in with boxing was probably boxing's golden era in the 70s. I don't know if it's like the best era in boxing, but it's certainly one of the best. It had some of the best fighters, and I think he drew a lot of inspiration from that. Like it's everyone knows that Apollo Creed is based on Muhammad Ali.
Right.
And I think some of the other fighters are based on fighters from that era too, and I'm convinced, totally convinced, that Clubber Lang, his fighting style and just his power is based on George Foreman.
Okay.
George Foreman fought a lot like Clubber. His personality was not like Clubber's. For example, Muhammad Ali had fought two people, namely Joe Frazier and Ken Norton, 3 times each. And he'd been defeated one of those. Joe Frazier defeated him once. Ken Norton defeated him once. They were very well matched. George Foreman fought Joe Frazier and Ken Norton and knocked them out in the first and second round. Okay. He completely bulldozed them, yet he would end up losing to Muhammad Ali. Hmm. And I think that is what this fight is very closely based on. And I think it's that style. And Rocky had a very kind of Joe Frazier style before, with intense coming forward, taking a lot of hits. Joe Frazier got knocked down like 8 times against George Foreman. He got completely destroyed. And I think so Clubber Lang, I think, is based off of that.
Okay.
And I think we see Rocky transitioning from a Joe Frazier style fighter to more of a Muhammad Ali style fighter. So where Apollo took the place of Muhammad Ali in the first two fights, Rocky's got to take the place of Muhammad Ali in this fight, I think.
Okay, I like it. Wow. That's why you're on, Kyle. Ruben and I would not have come up with that.
We'll see what the audience thinks. You might get some hate mail on that one. I don't know. But
no, I like
You got
it.
Any hate mail, by the way?
Somebody just...
You got any hate mail?
No, I think the lack of fan mail is the hate mail.
The true opposite of love is indifference, not hate.
That's right. I think the lack of accolades and the lack of listeners is our hate mail. But yeah, so we do receive some nice compliments. And so, like I said, we got a message today asking, "Hey, when's your next episode coming out?" So we do get, for whatever reason, Kyle, we do have a few listeners, and we appreciate those listeners. So thank you. And Matt Marchand, as you know, is a sometime guest host listener. He mentions Seagal versus Foreman. Does that ring a bell?
Well, there's a fake news thing going around right now that Foreman okay. currently is challenging yes. Steven Seagal to yes. a fight, which okay. I would like to see.
Okay. So that's right. Steven Seagal versus Foreman. I saw that as well. It reminds me of a scene in Rocky V when Rocky tells the boys in the bar, "Come on, guys, this ain't no pie eating contest."
Maybe yeah, that's right.
So maybe the Seagal versus Foreman fight is actually a pie-eating contest.
Oh, I forgot to mention something. I think you were saying before that Stallone said, like, you remember how Clubber Lang was might have been in Rocky Balboa, but they decided not to make him a commentator?
Right. That was brought up by Matt, I think.
And then Clubber Lang supposedly had converted to become, like, a born-again Christian or something like that and got over his hatred for Rocky. Is that ringing a bell?
Yeah, go on.
Well, George Foreman had the same thing. He became a born-again Christian, and he became a pastor. He was kind of a dark and scary guy back in the day. And then it's not like the guy who sells the grills now. And I think that was part of his transition.
Oh.
So I think that's more evidence on my side that Stallone definitely has Foreman in mind.
Sure.
And I think this fight will be based on the Rumble in the Jungle fight in 1975. So if you want to look that up on the YouTube, you can compare that.
Well, as we know, Rocky did train the jungle music, so...
Yeah, the jungle junk music.
I actually Googled jungle junk music on YouTube. It's hard to find any. It is actually hard to find the jungle junk music. You have to Google jungle junk. It's harder than you think to find that kind of music. That's right. So he says that Rocky's tailor-made for me. He's gonna get hurt.
You'd be right. If Rocky just, say, trained harder this time... Like, instead of screwing around in the gym, he really lifted the weights and did everything he could. He still would have lost, I think, if he did his same old thing. So I think Clubber's not unreasonable to think that. I think that's probably what most people are thinking, too.
I agree. Clubber's doesn't tickle. When he punches, it doesn't tickle. So no. now they're cutting to the remote cameras. Is this a remote camera? But we have another camera in a Rocky's dressing room. He's putting Apollo's putting the bandages on Rocky's hands. That's about it. And Rocky punches Adrian in the face with his hand. He goes like a little knock on Adrian's face there.
I love Rocky's awkwardness. You know, like, he's always saying awkward things. Like, it's kind of like that awkward punch in the face. Or in that first fight, he's like, "Hey, don't leave town, you know? Or do you think this robe's too baggy?"
He's a little bit more comfortable here with Adrian. They're playing around with each other. It's kind of cool because it shows that he's ready, but he's relaxed. He's not panicking, which is a good sign.
Yeah, like the last fight, you know, Mickey had just had a heart attack. You know, he was obviously something happened to him. He wasn't in the right place. Everything was going wrong. Everything was weird about that last fight. And now he seems kind of like he's more in his element.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Now we go back to Clubber's scene, and the reporter still talking to him. He says, "No, I don't hate Balboa." Here we go. So here's the big quote that we always hear from Mr. T.
No, I don't hate Balboa, but I pity the fool.
Hold on. Now, I heard that this is actually the first use of I pity the fool.
I pity the fool who says otherwise.
Yeah, I thought it was from 18.
Oh, no, no, no. I think... Yeah, I know. Because T, yeah. Mr. T was on Rocky before 18.
Yeah, yeah. So this is where I pity the fool originated, which I think is pretty cool.
So Clubber says, and I will destroy any man who tries to take what I got.
Well, yeah. Fair enough, Clubber. Fair enough.
Fair enough. Yeah, he's got the championship of the world. He wants to hold on to it.
And it's I will destroy it. What are you going to say?
So we're going now to a crowd shot. We've got some signs in the crowd there. And now we go to Rocky and Apollo standing in the doorway. And Apollo's having a heart-to-heart. He says, remember, this is where he's telling Rocky, remember where you came from.
Yeah.
You know, remember your journey.
And your roots. And your new roots.
Yeah, and remember what it took to get you here. And he goes, remember what he did to you last time, right? I don't think he should have thrown that in.
Yeah. It's like, I probably don't want to think about that, actually. Probably going to put that out of your head.
And then we go back to Stu, Nahan, and Bill Baldwin, and they're basically saying they're both brawlers. They mentioned that both Rock and Clubber are brawlers.
Yeah, and they are. And they are.
They're saying that the odds are against Rocky for retaining the title.
It appears that way. Yeah. Definitely.
And then we cut back to the next scene where Apollo's saying, oh, shoot, I went too fast there. 1 second. The odds are against Rocky. He goes, now it's your turn. It's your turn, huh? Paul's just giving that pep talk that a good trainer does. And then talk about predictions. The reporter goes on to now cutting back the remote cameras in Clubber's room. The reporter asks Clubber, what's your prediction for the fight then? What's the answer? That's right. Pain. And then Clubber looks right at the cameras. Breaks that fourth wall because he's not really looking at the audience. He's looking at the people watching the news, watching the coverage on sports. But he looks at the camera like a wrestling promo. Pain.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, he's very, like, it goes back to that interview he had with that guy on TV, but ever since he became the champ, it seems to be kind of, he's gotten kind of cocky compared to before. Like, he wasn't confident before, but now he kind of works the media more. He's not that lone guy who's not in it for the glory or he just wants to earn the title. Now I think he's kind of digging being champ a little bit.
Sure, yeah, he's loving it, you know. I wonder what...
Yeah, blame him.
Well, I wonder what Clubber's payout for this fight was. It's never really mentioned, is it?
Well, I don't think we know Rocky's payout either.
Right.
What I really want to know is what's Apollo's payout?
Yeah.
I wonder how much money.
He's always getting money. He's basically a smart Paulie.
Yeah, basically. Yeah, no, Apollo is an awesome businessman.
Absolutely. So we go back to the commentators, and it says here, the Lang is a brawler who likes to hurt a man to the body. Which is kind of a weird...
I've seen, like, no body shots in the first fight. Actually, no, there was a couple, but there's almost no body. Like, that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
It's kind of poor,
They said that.
And then this is in Balboa.
He hits in the head almost exclusively.
Right. Well, I guess officially the head's part of the body. I don't know. It's kind of a weird... It's kind of a weird...
Yeah, you're a bit apologist there, Ryan.
I know. I put my apologist cap on because really every part of your body, you know, is, you know, because they'll say it's a headless body. Right? So it says here, and Balboa may never have psychologically recovered from that vicious knockout, which is a true statement. Think about Ronda Rousey.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, that's, and Rocky was really psychologically messed up.
Yeah.
Like, that really interfered with the first part of his training. He needed Adrian to kind of give him some on-the-beach therapy there and help him get over that. And even that, the whole, whole trading in L.A. was kind of the psychological changes to Rocky that he needed. But, like, the announcers really don't know any of that. So, as far as they're concerned, like, Balboa is probably terrified he's going to get killed here. So,
yeah, but I wonder how much they know as reporters what's going on in his behind closed doors. And we, the viewer, know what's going on. So, it's kind of a weird, for all we know, it's fueled his anger. It's made him angrier. It's made him... I'm going to kick his butt even harder next time. You're right. I was off my game, but I'm not anymore. I don't know. We as the viewer knows his head got messed up, but it's just weird that the announcers would play to that fear.
Yeah, true. I think everyone kind of just assumes Clubber's the new thing now.
Okay. Yeah. Well, yeah, the new champion.
Yeah. Right? I think it's like a foregone conclusion. Rocky's going to lose. I haven't heard anyone like in the media here on the film express any confidence in Rocky whatsoever. Even in the first fight. Yeah. Even in the first fight, when they were talking to Apollo and he was the commentator, and Apollo predicted Rocky would win, and then they're like, oh, do you really think the champ can hit that hard? And Apollo said, well, why do you think I'm out here with you guys, right?
Right.
Like, the announcers even were kind of, they thought Rocky would lose the first time, too. I don't think it was a surprise for them.
Sure, yeah. Hey, we know that the other guy, we know that Clubber had the eye of the tiger in that fight, so that's why he had the eye of the tiger. Okay, so now we're going to the scene that you're talking about. Apollo's given his shorts, his colors that they wore during their first fight. Apollo's handing over his boxer briefs to Rocky. Do you want to comment on
that? This is super important. This says a lot about this film and this fight. There's a couple things. One, the shorts kind of bring you back to the previous film, especially the first film where it was worn.
Yeah,
this is her first fight. Weird. Everything's weird about that first fight with Clubber. Like, the announcer guy was different. The referee was different. Everything just looked different. And you kind of felt out of your element with that fight. But this fight, you're going to see, it's the same announcer from Rocky II. It's Lou Filippo. He was the ref for the first two fights. The music's going to be the same when they, the same as Rocky I when Rocky goes there. It's the Marine Corps song. And then there's the shorts there, too. And I think more importantly, though, I think Apollo's trying to live through Rocky vicariously here. Apollo, for whatever reason, doesn't feel like he can fight anymore, at least at this stage. And he's kind of made Rocky in his image here. He's trained him in in L.A. where he started. He's training Rocky to fight like him. He's now dressing Rocky in his shorts. It's kind of like a parent who kind of lives vicariously through their children. You know, like a hockey dad that kind of gets too into it or something like that. I think Apollo's kind of like that with Rocky too.
Yeah, that's fair. That's all fair. I can't really add much to that. It's very good. Can you blame Apollo? He misses it. Misses the cheers. No, misses the championship.
Not at all.
Yeah.
Plus, he hates Clubber because Clubber was such a dick to him.
Yeah. So, of course, the one caveat that Apollo has is just make sure that he washes them before he brings them back.
Fair enough.
I wish Stallone grabbed the shorts and put them up to his nose and goes. He goes, well, you didn't
wash. You haven't washed me either.
Yeah, he goes, you haven't washed me either. All right. All right, so where we are, okay. And then Rock goes, yeah, will do. And thanks, Apollo. And remember, after all that,
I can't wear your colors.
And this is where Apollo says, and remember, after this, you owe me a favor.
What favor?
Oh, I love it. Because Rocky has no idea what this favor is. I think he's genuinely nervous. Does Apollo want to? Does he want like a naked sauna? What's going on?
Apollo
here?
Has everything, right? Has everything. He has tons of money. He has fame, fortune, everything. What could Rocky possibly give him, right? Yeah, I'd be nervous too.
So Paul is just giving treatment after treatment here to Paul Rocky. He says, just remember everything I taught you. They're about to enter the ring. Just remember what they taught you, and you're going to prove it to him tonight. And then Paulie goes to Apollo, hey, Apollo, you did good training them. And Apollo says, thanks, Paulie. Okay, let's do it.
Which is kind of a neat moment, right? Because Apollo and Paulie never really got along, right? Paulie's always saying rude and disparaging things to him. And now he finally acknowledges that Apollo did a good job. Because the whole time Apollo was training him, he was critical. So,
but you know, that's kind of like, think of it like, I don't know, like you're working on a project with somebody you don't like, whether it's at work or school or, and then when the project's done and you kind of have that mutual respect for each other, so you know what, despite our differences, we got here, we did this, and you kind of have that mutual respect with somebody. You might not want to have Thanksgiving dinner or Christmas dinner with this person, but you can both, at that moment, respect what the person brought to the table at this moment.
Well, Paulie seems to get emotional right before he goes out in the ring. Like he's like this with Rocky in the next movie, too.
Right.
The same place, right? Right before they go out. I think Paulie genuinely is not a terrible person.
No.
And sometimes he can be...
He's complicated.
Yeah, he is. That's a good way to describe it. So anyways, so they go out and...
Yeah, now they're going out to comment. The commentators are saying, here comes two former champions. Look at the intensity on Rocky's face. Take a look at Rocky. Look at the tenseness, the tautness of that body.
I don't know how they can see, maybe just his face, but he does look thinner than in that first fight, for sure.
And the commentators, yeah, boy, does he look serious.
Yeah, which is like totally different than the last fight. Totally different mindset.
Right. So they said, win, lose, or draw, there he is, the Italian Stallion, Rocky Balboa.
And they have that exciting music playing, like the Marine Corps Color Guards playing that music. And yeah, really, that's the same music Paulo had, like I was saying. And so it really does a good job of getting you pumped up for this fight.
So Matt asked us to remind me about the favor, and I'm not sure what he's saying in our chat there. Of course, Matt would know what that favor is at the end of the film. So, Matt, if you just want to clarify what you mean by that.
Oh, Matt also had a comment about both being left-handed. I'll address that. Just remind me to address that.
Go ahead and do that now.
Oh, okay. Well, there's kind of a discrepancy in this film about how Clubber fights. I was just looking at the video here on YouTube of the two fights. In the first fight, Clubber seems to fight right-handed, even though they've called him a southpaw before. And then I'm watching the video of the second fight here, and he's fighting left-handed. So I don't know, Clubber maybe he's ambidextrous, or the fight choreographer just sucks, which maybe Stallone, but
right.
I don't know. Apparently, I heard that Mr. T was a very difficult to deal with fighting choreography. He's not that good at hitboxing, and apparently he didn't take well to instructions. So maybe they said, okay, well, he might be fighting right and left-handed differently in two fights, but at least we got what we needed on tape. So, and most people wouldn't notice that. Like, I didn't notice it till recently.
Yeah, it's funny. There's not a lot of talk about, you know, we hear some of the banter that they have about Carl Weathers and other actors that have come in the films. There seems to be very little talk about Mr. T's experience on set. Am I missing the boat on that?
Yeah, I think so. I don't think you're missing the boat. I think you're right. I haven't heard much. The only thing I did hear, it was kind of negative. I can't remember who said that. It wasn't Sly. It was someone else. They were just saying that he sucked. Maybe I'm wrong on that. But
yeah, I heard his acting wasn't very good. That he was tough to work with. But, you know, he's Mr. T.
Yeah.
So what are you going to do?
I think he was a good choice, though. I couldn't imagine anyone else being him in that role.
So the announcer says when Rocky climbs in the ring, boy, he looks incredibly thin, doesn't he?
Yes. Now, he's going to weigh in at 190 pounds.
Okay.
195 or something. So he's lost about 6 or 7 pounds. He's barely a heavyweight.
They say he's lost 20.
Barely.
They say he looks like he's lost 20.
Yeah, well, they're wrong. If he lost 20, he would have been like a cruiserweight or a middleweight. Or actually, he would have been a cruiserweight. So would have been like 180 pounds.
Right. Yeah, yeah. The commentators have said again, Balboa doesn't really have any boxing skill. They just said that again. What a weird thing to say about a former champion, to say he really doesn't have any boxing skill.
Well, I think it's kind of true. I don't think he had much skill. Like, remember when Rocky was in the gym sulking after the fight in the dark, and then he hits the speed bag? And then Paul's like, no, that's not how you do it.
Right.
You have to hit it straight, step into it. Like, yeah, I don't think Mickey really worked on his technique that much. Because Mickey had to do, like, the very basics for that first fight. Like, teach Rocky how to punch on balance and stuff, like, which is absurd for a championship fight. So
right.
Rocky wins those fights with strength and determination more than skill, at least up to this point.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, and I agree. I just we commented on that, actually, Ruben and I, where we talked about the training montage episode, that it was very odd to see Rocky have such difficulty with basic boxing equipment. He's been doing this for like 20 odd years of his life, and he still can't quite hit the bag that moves up and down on the rope or whatever that thing was.
Oh, yeah, that looks tough to hit. But yeah,
sure it is. But I would assume a boxer who's
the champ or over champ. So
it's like saying being a NASCAR driver, but you can't drive standard. I don't know.
Yeah.
It's like, that's what they do. So they're commenting on Clubber Lang's entrance here, and they're saying, I've never seen a guy with such sullen eyes. He is tough.
I always thought they said southern eyes, which I thought was weird, but I'm going to assume you have it on captions.
So. Yeah, I have it on captions, so I don't have the sound on.
Some guy about to come out and, like, challenge him, and he sounds like some southern guy. Like, his accent sounds southern, and he, like, tells him to go back where he came from or something.
He goes, Clubber, go back where you came from.
And it's a Southern accent, and I'm sorry to anyone who's listening from the South. I don't want to pigeonhole you, but I think this guy might be a little bit racist.
We have a couple of listeners from, we get some hits from Texas. I don't know, Montana's not that far south.
Well, it's on Nashville. The Canadian border.
We have a Nashville listener.
Okay, so guys from the South, I'm sorry, I'm not calling you racist, but I have a feeling this gentleman in the audience might be, I'm suspicious.
And then it goes here, Baldwin, he says, he even belted a spectator on the way in. Did you see that? Poor Paul, I mean, poor Clubber, he just got accosted by a spectator, some racist spectator, and then, he protected himself from a racist insult, and then he gets blamed by belting. He just belted a spectator on his way in. Did you see that? What behavior from this man?
Oh,
trying to make a living.
Yeah, and they're like calling him awesome. They're like, awesome. Yeah. Awesome.
Look at that man. Awesome. Awesome.
Yeah, they're definite Clubber fanboys for sure. Yeah, everyone's tough on the Clubber train right now, except for maybe the audience, of course, or the crowd. But
well, the crowd was booing him. Yeah,
there is a guy with a Clubber sign in the crowd, though. I'd like to mention that you do see a Clubber sign.
Yeah, there's someone. That's right. There is a Clubber sign. I love it. So now the Clubber's just entered the ring. He's already beaking off at Rock. Goes, you ready for another beating? You should never come back.
Yeah. Is this where he starts talking to Apollo too? Just a second. Yeah. Or is that a little later?
No, this is he goes, you ready for another beat and you should never come back. And then Clubber starts chirping at Apollo. Apollo's just told Rocky to be cool, like keep it loose.
He's like, Hey boy. Which is like totally that is a really racist thing to say, especially to say it like that.
I was
called like
say,
a black man boy like that. Now, Clubber's also black too, but still, like that, he's not being very kind here, obviously.
Yeah, and I think that's the. I was gonna say, I wonder if it's a racial thing I hate that term racial. I don't know but I think within that culture, within the black culture, I think calling somebody boy is.
Not cool.
Yeah, I think it's the same as in the Philadelphia white culture, calling somebody a bum. You know, is that same type of, you know.
Like, if I called the black guy a boy like that, I'd get my ass kicked. Deservedly so.
Sure.
Yeah.
And then Apollo says, just stay out of my face, chump. And then he turns his back after he goes, don't turn your back on me, sucker. And he pushes Apollo. Like, that's pretty.
Yeah.
And then
his hatred for Apollo is really weird. Like, he just really doesn't like him at all.
Again, I wonder if it's I don't know how to say this without. I don't know, but I wonder. Like, obviously, this is a movie, but I wonder if this would have worked if both guys were white. If this, in a weird way, I think it makes more sense. The anger is such deep. Maybe he sees Apollo as a. I've seen enough TV
like an
shows.
Uncle Tom or something.
Well,
like that.
Exactly. Like he's. You know how you see TV shows about the South, and you have those. The black people that are educated, as they would say, and they're like they're almost hated by their other black members of society for being educated. So they're almost like hate. You can't win if you're a black person in society. You can't win if you're educated. You can't win if you're not educated. So I think it's kind of what sees Apollo as a white black person, as you'd say. I don't know what they call that.
Yeah. Well, actually, funny enough, Muhammad Ali and Joe Frazier had this issue between them. They had a big rivalry. And Muhammad Ali used to accuse Joe Frazier of being an Uncle Tom.
Okay, is that what that is?
An Uncle Tom is like a black person, but they kowtow to like the white man,
right?
And they kind of betray their own community. It's a very deep, hurtful insult. I think that's what it is. Like, I'm not an expert on this, but
no, I'm not.
I watched a documentary about the Thrilla Manila fight between Frazier and Ali, and they were talking about that, about how Muhammad Ali accused Frazier of being an Uncle Tom, even though he really wasn't. But that was like a big thing between them. And so that might be echoed in this movie too, or it could just be a coincidence.
Okay. All right. So they have the big brawl in the ring, and the announcers say, hey, the fight's about to begin, but we've got a brawl going on right now.
Oh, I want to mention something too.
Yeah.
Look at all the people in Clubber's corner. Like, I think I tried to count them once. There's like a dozen people in there or something. Like, there's just...
Yeah, I've got on screen right now. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven right there. I thought he trained alone. I thought he trained alone.
I know. Where did this entourage come from? What do they all do? They, like, fill up the entire ring during this brawl.
Well, to be fair, Clubber can afford a bigger staff. That's probably part of what it is.
Oh, and then Matt just commented, Ali did that with Wempner, too.
Okay, there you go.
And Wempner, Chuck Wempner is who Rocky was based off of.
Yeah.
He's the guy that knocked down Muhammad Ali.
Yes, that's correct.
Yeah.
All right, so there's the Clubber sign. I just saw the Clubber sign. They both have taken off their robes. The announcer's making the weighing at 191 pounds for Rocky from the Fighting City of Philadelphia, the former heavyweight champion of the world, the Italian Stallion, Rocky Balboa. So he's 191 is his weight.
So he's barely a heavyweight. He's really slim.
Yeah.
He was actually 195 in his first fight against Apollo, but he's obviously in better shape here. But yeah, he is I think there's about a 45 pound weight difference between the two of them.
Yeah, and Stu Nahan just said that it looks like he's really slimmed down. He looks like a middleweight. So that's actually mentioned in the film.
Yeah.
And then they announced Clubber out of the blue corner, weighing at 237 pounds.
And you can hear this, like, you probably have the volume off, but when he says 237 pounds, you can hear people going like, ooh, ah, like kind of cheering him, like almost kind of catcalling him or something. It's really
well, sure. Well, they both have incredible physiques here. So they 237, 191 to two, what is that, 46-pound difference?
Yeah. That's huge. Huge. So, like, if you're still going with the theory, like if you're in the crowd or one of the announcers, if you're going with the idea of Rocky's going to fight his same style as a brawler, but now you have like a 47 or 46 pound weight differential.
Right.
Then like not going to happen. Right.
Well, I think there's even a bigger one in Rocky IV, isn't there?
Yeah. Well, we don't know what Rocky weighed in at. I actually, you've talked to him, but I had a guy translate what the announcer said in the ring. And I was hoping the announcer would give the weights in there. Now, we know from Ivan Drago's first fight with Apollo that he weighed in at 260 pounds. But you never find out how much Rocky weighed. He really bulked up in that fight. I'd say Rocky maybe got to 210, 215. That's even probably a little much for him. But there's probably like a 40, 50-pound weight difference there.
Again, so they probably have about a 50-pound weight difference between Drago and Rocky. But it wasn't a sanctioned fight, so it wouldn't even have mattered back then. Or later on.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, so exactly. Apollo gives them, they do the little beat in the corner, and Mr. T, Clubber says, I'm going to bust you up.
Oh, in this too, if you look at the first fight compared to the second, when Rocky and Rocky and Clubber are face-to-face here. Rocky will not make eye contact in the first fight. He's, like, looking around. He's nervous. He's, like, he really doesn't want to be there. Clubber picks up on this right away, and he says, you're dead meat, and Rocky didn't reply. And this time, Rocky is staring right at him. He's focused. He's hardcore. It's a totally different thing. And now he chirps back.
Go for it.
Go for it.
Go for it. And I have to say, Stallone's hair is terrible here. It's just, it is the 80s, but that puffy hair on the side, like that Lego haircut,
yeah,
looks like he just can take his hair, pull it up and pull it down. Like, I don't know. It's a horrible look.
Are you being anti-Italian, Ryan? Is this what you're doing?
No.
You got something against Italians?
I haven't seen this many Italians in one place. So now Rocky goes to Apollo's corner here, or his corner. Apollo goes, rhythm and power, then jab him, rhythm and power.
Yeah, that's his. Now, of course, Apollo, when he was being trained, he was always told to stick and move.
Right.
So it's kind of like the same kind of, it's not the same thing, but it's kind of like telling you, this is your style, go like this. Rocky's never been told that before. No, Mickey never said, like, Mickey would just be like, run over him. You're a tank. You're 202-pound Italian tank.
So the fight begins, and Rocky goes right out of his corner, and he goes right after Clubber, starts punching him. I love the scenes here with Clubber's head as it goes back, and it always kills me. I don't know why it always kills me when the camera's behind Clubber. And you see his like mohawk shaved glistening head kind of like bouncing back every time he gets hit by Rocky. It just looks funny because he's getting hit in the head. And his head just keeps going back, 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 back.
Yeah, no kidding. I'm going to play the fight too.
Okay.
Just so I can see it. But
sure. I'm at the part where he's just come out of the corner and Baldwin's going, another jab, and another.
Yeah.
So I'm about 20 seconds ahead. I'll stop. Do you want to catch up?
No, he's jabbing him right now. I went ahead myself. He's giving him right-handed jabs. Obviously, yeah. He's fighting southpaw.
And Apollo goes.
And the clubber just takes a huge shot at him and misses.
And the announcers were like, he looks fantastic. He's dancing like Apollo Creed.
This is more the style of Apollo Creed.
Yeah.
Wow. I wonder how that happened. It's not like Creed trained him or anything.
So it's a pretty straightforward round. We just could watch in real time here. You just tell me if anything stops or pops out to you.
Yeah, well, yeah, not much. Like Clubber isn't able to land a shot.
Yeah, he can't corner the fleet-footed challenger. It says here, he can't corner the fleet-footed challenger.
So Clubber's probably just really surprised right now on what is happening. So Clubber does get a couple shots in, but Rocky's just giving it to him here. I don't know. I don't want to go too far into this fight already and what's going to happen. But
Clubber calls him, says, come on, you oversized hick.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't...
Yeah, you have to have the captions on for those.
It.
Yeah, he goes, come on, you oversized hick. Come on, hit me.
Oversized hick? That doesn't even make any sense. Yeah. He's like not that big.
I don't know.
Wow, that's really weird.
And I assume that was...
Yeah, and then Clubber's like enraged going back to his corner. Yeah, so it's interesting. Obviously, the next rounds are going to be pretty different, but Apollo's really happy. He's doing exactly what he wants. Now, if you remember, when Apollo and Tony were watching the fight video at Rocky's house without Rocky,
right?
They said the pace they can set Rocky at, he can go 7 or 8 rounds like this, and it's all over. So he got to put Clubber away early.
Right.
So the question here is Rocky really doing any damage to Clubber with this style?
No, because Clubber's even saying...
And he's not.
In some of the dialogue here, it's like, come on and hit me. You know, come on, you oversized hit. Come on and hit me. Yeah. And he's embracing the punches that Rocky's giving him.
So he's not tiring. So the worry is, if Rocky keeps going like this, is he going to run out of gas and Clubber's just going to knock him out?
Yeah.
Because I don't think Rocky would keep that pace up for 15 rounds. And now Clubber's kind of just getting dirty now and is finally landing shots. Like, are we on the point now where he throws him into the corner?
Yeah, it's coming. Yeah, right there. Just got it there. So, yeah, he's like, he's really nailing his head there.
So he's fighting a little dirty here. He shoves Rocky into the ropes and then...
Are you on the first round or the second round?
Him? I'm on the second.
Oh, yeah, you're ahead of me, so stop there.
Okay.
Pause it.
This is a thing I wanted to comment on with this fight, because after Rocky takes the first beating in the corner there...
Right.
He doesn't come out jabbing like he did before.
Right.
This is a thing, a major difference. Like, Apollo Creed is always compared to Muhammad Ali, but there's one huge difference between Apollo Creed and Muhammad Ali, is Muhammad Ali allows himself to get punched. That was a big thing he did, and especially in the fight against Foreman, they called it the rope-a-dope. He just go gets the ropes and cover his face up and allow himself to get punched. And Apollo would never do that. And Rocky, I think, clued into this midway through this round, and Rocky's basically allowing himself to get beaten, and he's letting Clubber punch himself out at this point.
Right.
Because that's what's really going to tire Clubber. It's not these jabs and light shots Rocky's landing, but it's the act of just beating Rocky himself. So it's the way Rocky's fighting now is kind of a combination between his old style of taking hits and Apollo's style of kind of more being quick and sticking and moving and getting in and out.
Good. I like it, man. Look at you. I like it. Before we start the second round, you're ahead of me. I'll let me catch up. There's an interesting interplay here when Clubber's being held back by his staff. It's a really visceral scene when Clubber's like, he's trying to break free from his staff to just keep punching Rocky.
You know, I looked this up on YouTube, and I think the YouTube skips those scenes and just goes right from one round to another.
That's
so
a great.
Sorry, I got ahead
there.
That's
fine. That's fine. That's a great little. You know the scene I'm talking about.
Oh yeah, of course. Yeah, Clubber's just like he couldn't accept
wants to kill
the round
him.
Was over.
He just wants to kill Rocky. He's mad. So he's kind of recognizing, I think, that Rocky isn't the same fighter that he was the first fight. So he probably a little bit of that fear is now creeping into Clubber. He's like, okay, I've got a different fight on my hands. So he's part angry, part a little bit fearful. So he's trying to keep the persona of I'm going to beat you, I'm going to whoop you. But I think there's probably a little bit of, oh, I've got a different fight today than I had before.
Yeah, yeah. And Clubber may not have ever lost a round in his life.
No.
We don't know that. But everything we've seen of Clubber, he just devastates his opponents one after the other.
Right. And then that funny scene where Rocky spits his water out onto Paulie's shirt.
I don't know if that was intentional or not, but it was awesome. It kind of reminds me in Rocky 2, and Rocky's carrying buckets of spit. And that right. guy's like, wait a second. And then he spits in the bucket while Rocky's holding it. Rocky gets sprayed a bit.
Yeah, I think it was unintentional. I just watched it again. Yeah. And it looked like Stallone was trying to spit in the bucket. And he actually got it in the bucket, but it was such a hard spit that it splashed out onto Burt Young. And Burt Young kind of like, ugh. But they kept it, you know. All right, so here's round two. So now Clubber comes out to meet him, but Rocky counters and punches. And says you're the
you yeah. know, so it looks like it's going to be the start of round one again at this point.
Right.
But it's just going to keep going.
But they are just just dancing in the ring. It's just funny to watch this movie because they're just both just hopping on their feet like hot potatoes, eh? They're both of them.
Well, that's usually what happens in a lot of fights. Fighters, like, they have a bunch of energy at the beginning and they're on their feet, and then by the end they're flat-footed and just trying to stay up. So
yeah, here's the part. Yeah, Clubber just threw Rocky into the ring. I love it. Just chucking him in the ring. I love that.
Yeah, and he just beats him. And then this is the point where I was saying Rocky's got to decide to change his style and just allow himself to get hit.
You're right. That's right.
And you're not going to see Rocky taking control for the rest of this round.
No.
And which to Apollo is asinine. Apollo doesn't understand that.
Right.
He's never Apollo could take a punch, but he never takes a punch on purpose. He's always just trying to outpoint the guy, and he trained Rocky that way. But Rocky's kind of melding his style with Apollo's here. And
yeah,
so he's just going to take a vicious beating for the rest of the... And honestly, it wouldn't be a Rocky movie if Rocky didn't take a horrible beating, right? Like, imagine if this fight ended up Rocky just completely outpointing Clubber and knocking him out. Like, that would be so absurd. Everyone, it wouldn't be exciting, and there would be no tension.
No, I agree.
So this has
to happen. He actually gets a 7 count. He gets knocked down here, and he actually gets a 7 count, which is pretty close, man.
Yeah, pretty close. But luckily, they have Lou Filippo in the ring. And with Lou Filippo, as long as you have a heartbeat and you're on your feet, he'll let you keep going. Like, he doesn't care.
Because he gets knocked down again with a 6 count.
Yeah. Like, and then Adrian's like, stop the fight!
Yeah. No, nobody stops a fight in Rocky. Nobody's... You're either knocked out or dead in the Rocky series.
Yeah, exactly.
And now, for whatever reason, Rocky's been knocked out twice. He's got a gash under his left eye. And he's like, hit me again, hit me again.
Yeah.
And then Clubber's like...
Rocky finally cleared to cover himself up.
Yeah. And then Apollo's pissed off at Rocky. And he goes, it's strategy. I know what I'm doing.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, see, that's his strategy, is to let Clubber punch himself up. And to kind of confuse him, too, because he's switching up his styles.
Right.
Because Clubber's kind of an idiot.
He is.
His fighting style is awful. Clubber is the worst fighter I've ever seen. The only thing he has going for him is he's really powerful. But he has 2 punches he throws. A left hook and a right hook. That's it. Like, any actual fighter would just hold their hand up and block it. And then, like, yeah.
He's basically a black Conor McGregor. Let's be
sure. I'm gonna go with that.
Well, you know what? You saw that fight. Manning had him the whole time.
Manny Floyd.
Sorry, Floyd. Who am I thinking of?
Well, you're thinking of Manny Pacquiao.
Sorry, my bad. That's right.
Interesting, Floyd had a similar strategy to Rocky here, actually.
That's what I mean, yeah. He covered up.
Let him punch himself out.
I totally thought of Rocky 3. And I saw that fight live, and I was thinking, this is Rocky 3. Floyd, I'm tired. Floyd Mayweather, he was, he just blocked, yeah. And then, what was it, round 6 or 7? Started punching back, and Connor was just like...
Round 4, he started punching back, and then...
Connor was like... And he was gassed. You could see that he was...
Oh, yeah. Like, round 8 or 9, he was just done. Interesting, I saw a thing where both Floyd Mayweather and Conor McGregor were asked if they could beat Rocky from Rocky 3.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah. And so, that's when we lost to Clubber Lang.
Those are answers.
And he's like, oh, wait, he beat him again in the second one. I don't know if I'd beat him or not. I don't know. And then Conor McGregor's like, yeah, I beat him. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. I love how the actual boxer gave us some legitimate thought. Like, you know what? I don't know. He was pretty tough.
Well, there's a weight class difference too, right? Like Floyd, they're like 150 pounds, right? Rocky, even when he slims down, is 190. So
I've got the match going still here because there's really not much. We got Rocky now kind of tapping Clubber's face like a little baby, like tapping the tap, just pissing him off, just making Clubber angry.
Okay, is he in the corner there? Is this the point where he's in the corner?
No, now he's punching him off the ring. He's landing punches in Clubber's body off the ring. We're getting close to the knockout now.
Yeah, okay, you think it's the ring ropes? Yeah, okay, so he's kind of copying Ali's rope-a-dope style here, where you lay against the ropes or the corner and allow yourself to get hit, and then return a few hits, and then when the other guy's gassed, you knock him out. That's exactly what happened to George Foreman, is Ali laid against the ropes and let Foreman punch himself out, and then he just came out and knocked him out in the eighth round.
The very end here, where he's got him on the ropes, and he is just, I think it's about 50 punches to the head, and Clubber doesn't know how to defend himself. He doesn't know what to do here. We've got the music.
He's not used to it.
With every punch.
Yeah.
You know the knockout. You know what I'm talking about?
He knocks him out with his right hand, too. Not even a big left-handed shot.
So there we go. Paul kisses Paulie earlier. Clubber's on the ground. He's dazed. His trainer's saying, get up. It's a 5-6 count, 7-8. We're getting close here, guys. Rocky's just gassed.
12 guys just lost their job.
Rocky does that incredible jump in the air where he lands on his knees. It always stresses me out every time I watch that.
Yeah, the older you get too, right? Like if you're a teenager, you wouldn't think anything of that. But it's like if you're in your 30s and 40s, you're like, oh, man, that would hurt your knees. Like, I'm not doing that anymore.
Let's see. This is 83. He's 37-ish.
Yeah. Yeah. It's old enough where it's like, you don't even.
I know.
He's also in fantastic shape. So
he is. But every time I watch that scene, the landing on his knees stresses me out. I know of all this because that's real. That's not fake. Yeah. He's landing on his knees. And I always wanted to ask him about that. Like when you jumped in the air there and landed on your knees, did that hurt at all or? Oh, my brother just got mad at me for saying that Clubber lost. Spoiler alert. I guess he hasn't finished watching Rocky 3 yet.
It's his own fault.
Okay, so now we're at the favor.
Ah, yes, the favor.
They're walking
Rocky's
in.
Rocky's just lucky he doesn't have like a ball gag in his mouth or something like that.
It's pretty close because they're, they're walking in with these trunks. Do you see what they're wearing here? It's like these weird...
Yeah.
Like
it's,
classic.
It's a genital protector.
Yeah, like
type of things.
So they're wearing more protective gear for a light sparring match than they would in an actual like championship fight.
Yeah, still no headgear though.
No headgear, but let me tell you, their bodies are Vaseline'd up. They are glowing.
Yeah, yeah, they are.
So they go in here.
Clubber doesn't look not Clubber. Sorry, Apollo doesn't look as good a shape in this as he did in the training either.
No, it's weird. He does look good. He looks. I'm looking at the picture right now. He does look a little bit schlubbier here. So maybe they filmed this at the beginning, and maybe he got in better shape by the end of the film. I don't know. So Rocky. So Paul says, "You owe me a favor," and Rocky says, "I know, but what did you think of this?" Oh, we lost Kyle. So we're gonna keep going here until he comes back in. All right. Let's see what happened here. Kyle, come back. There you go. Let's buy him back in.
Hey, about that.
That's fine.
It disconnected. I don't know why.
All right, that's fine. Are we still live? Because there's a time limit.
Yes.
I think there's there's a time limit on live, eh? I think it's 55 minutes or something there, or an hour. So we're getting near the end here anyway. So, all right, so here we go. The big favor. And Rocky asked Apollo, I know, but when did you think of this?
About 5 years ago. Oh, this is where Apollo makes fun of Rocky a bit, too. Oh, yeah, 3 years ago. Sorry, you're right. He's like, the papers knew we were doing this. They think we was crazy. And then Paul's like, yeah, mentally irregular, right?
No, that conversation was during the their meeting in the gym.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, I think – okay, I'm confused.
No, that's okay. You're right. That's right. When they were in the gym and Apollo met him in the gym, that's when that happened. But I can understand why they're both scenes are dark. Not well lit. I can see why your brain went back there. All right, so Jason says we're still live. Okay, good, but we're almost done. Apollo says, look, Stallion, when you won that last fight, you won by 1 second. And that's true.
Yes.
And he goes, beat me by 1 second. That's very hard for a man of my intelligence to take.
I bet it was. That would suck.
And then Rocky says, but you told me that you learned to live with it.
I lied.
And then he goes, I lied. Oh, you lied.
Yeah, they're real good buddies now.
Oh, yeah. So this is kind of cool. This is interesting. They're saying it's just going to be a fight between me and you. No TV, no cameras, nothing. Just you
He's
and
just
me.
He's just doing it for himself.
And so,
yeah, Apollo just wants to know he still has it, I think. You know what I mean? Like, he just wants to know if he could still do it.
We'll talk about this really quick, but when you first watch this, you think it's just going to be a light sparring match. But as we find out later, it was a legitimate fight. Even though there's no referee, we learn later.
I disagree with that. I know you're right. I know you're right, but it just doesn't make a lot of sense.
Okay.
Well, like, in the fourth movie, Rocky comes back from that fight, and he has, like, a little bruise on his eye or something like that.
Right.
But if those two really got in a real fight again, his face would be, like, screwed up, just like the first two fights.
Right? Well, yeah, I think it's a real fight in the way he was. It's like just above a sparring fight, but below a championship knockout fight. They probably just did like a point system where it's like a mercy call, maybe. Like, yeah, all right, you got me, you got me. Like, okay, like that, yeah, you know, like some sort of point system, because they're both champions, they're both professional boxers. So it's kind of like Apollo probably just schooled him, probably like a student would, like a teacher would a student, even if the student like did something well. The teacher comes as. Because he says that, you know, you fight great, but I'm a great fighter, and I didn't teach you everything I know.
Yeah, and in the other fights, Apollo always outmatched Rocky big time.
Right.
It was just Rocky was able to hold on and endure a lot more, and he was able to barely score the knockout in the second round. So if it was some kind of points thing, which it then, yeah, Apollo would easily beat him.
Yeah. And so they say, go, you know, they enter the ring age before beauty. I always love that line. I use it all the time. That's one of the things I got from this movie that I use all the time at work. If I'm at the door or something, and we're waiting, I always say age before beauty. That's I don't know. I always use that, and people get a kick out of
are
it.
Are you usually the younger person?
Well, I never know what that means. Are you, so is it age before beauty as in the younger goes in first or the older goes in first? Because he just says age before beauty. So who goes in first? That,
if it's before, then it would be age goes in first, right? Didn't he let Apollo in?
You can I'm watching right now. But... So it goes, just you and me, age before beauty. So that's right, Apollo goes in. Anything you say, Stallion. Then he says, I'm still young enough to beat you. So it is
older. Have you been using that wrong the whole time?
I don't even know what it means. I just always say it. I just said whatever happens, happens. But I guess the same age as in older goes in before the person that's, I guess, better looking is what it is.
Because they're younger, presumably.
That's right. Here he goes. He goes, how are you going to do that? You taught me everything you know.
Almost everything, Stallion.
You got to remember now. You fight great, but I'm a great fighter. You ready? Absolutely.
And then the famous line we repeat in this podcast all the time.
Wait, we're not there yet. Paul says first, he goes, you know, Stallion, it's too bad we got to get old, right?
Foreshadowing.
Yeah, foreshadowing. He goes, I just keep punching Apollo. That's the other line we use all the time. Keep want to ring the bell? There it goes. All right. Ding, ding,
ding.
So this is a great finishing scene coming up here. They're dancing around the ring, and they're, you know, they're chirping at each other. He goes, boy, you really move older, good for an older guy. You're looking good, Stallion. I taught you well. I love how even as he's complimenting Rocky, he's complimenting his training on Rocky.
Yeah. Which is totally in character for him.
Right. Like,
that's exactly what Apollo would say.
And then there you go with the big last shot. We all know it. It becomes that famous painting. And I love it. And the end with the
Eye of
the
Tiger. That painting is in Rocky's restaurant in Rocky Balboa.
Yeah.
It's Who totally would have taken meta. That painting? No one was there.
I know.
It's very meta, I think.
It's very meta. It's the very – well, that's right. So Rocky III in true fashion ends with a very meta moment of a – the last shot of the movie becomes a painting, a real painting that ends in, it becomes a prop in the films later on. So,
yeah.
So I guess Apollo and Rocky could have told the painter, this is what happened. You know, we both struck each other at the same time. And, you know.
But I was first, put my glove closer to his face.
Yeah. It looks like Apollo does strike first, though. It looks like Rocky might have missed the first punch there. So,
I thought Rocky hit first, but I don't know. I'm not looking at it.
And we find out later in Creed, part one. That Rocky says to Adonis that Creed won that fight.
He did indeed.
So All right. Well, Kyle, any last words or anything you want to say before we close out? Thanks for coming out for the Rocky III final fight, final moments. I can't believe we're done Rocky III season three. This is pretty exciting.
Well, Ryan, if you have any turkey this weekend, just if you want to eat the bird, go in the alley and eat the bird, okay?
Yeah, we did have some turkey today. That's right. But we ate it indoors. We did not go. Okay. I did not throw. If I throw the turkey out the backyard, my wife would have killed me.
It's Thanksgiving this weekend. Take your wife out ice skating, okay?
I heard she
not to the zoo though. Not to the zoo.
No, I've already asked Becky to marry me. I'm not taking her to the zoo.
You can take her ice skating though, and talk about all your former fights and stuff. And
that's right.
My you could have really made it.
I can't sing or dance. That's why I do this podcast.
Well, happy all Thanksgiving right, to you, Matt. You wish us happy Thanksgiving.
Hey, happy Thanksgiving, Matt. Well, he's a fellow Canadian as well. He's from Quebec or Ontario, one of those two provinces. I can't remember. But
out east, as we would say here.
He's out east. Thanks, Matt, for chiming in. Thanks to my brother for chiming in there. And happy Thanksgiving to all our Canadian friends. And to our American friends, happy Thanksgiving in November. And hey, Kyle, you want to take us out?
Ding, ding.
All right, guys, take care.
Take care. See ya.